WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org. This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work, social policy, and social administration prepares professionals to address today's most pressing challenges and offers flexible options with part-time and evening classes to support busy adults balancing complex schedules. Inspire change, shape the future at crownschool.uchicago.edu/social work.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. It's that time of year when we look back on the year to reflect on the best of the best. WBEZ and the Chicago Sun-Times collaborated on Best Books of 2024 staff picks. Titles like these.
This is Paul Saltzman, and I'm an editor at the Chicago Sun-Times.
My name is Chase Browning, and I'm the promotions producer at WBEZ.
The Waiting by Michael Connelly.
State of Paradise by Laura Vandenberg. The author is pretty convincing in how she blends the ideas of reality and fiction together in a personified landscape of Florida, where the book takes place. And Florida is pretty angry. So the book kind of takes shape around this idea of humanity facing a catastrophic future that they might not survive.
In The Waiting, he brings back retired L.A. police detective Harry Bosch, who's one of crime fiction's all-time great characters. He's in a supporting role here to a newer Connelly hero, Detective Renee Ballard, who helps solve two of L.A.'s most infamous crimes. But it's not the crime fighting that's center stage, it's the characters. Anything Connelly writes is worth reading. And The Waiting is another one that's hard to put down.
You can find the full list at WBEZ.org or suntimes.com. Now we go outside the newsrooms to see what books you and other Chicagoans liked this year. We wanted to know what books stuck with you, which gave you a laugh and some escape. Was there a book that you felt maybe changed your life? Well, we checked in with Chicago bookstore owner Danielle Moore, owner of Semicolon Books. Poet and author Leslie Honoré, whose new book Brown Girl, Brown Girl is out now, and with fiction and romance writer Cushy Saha. I wanted to gauge the panel's reading habits, so I started by asking them to give me a ballpark figure of just how many books they'd read this year. I turned to Leslie first.
Probably 30 or 40.
Ooh, that's way more than me.
I knew it would be, though. What about you, Danielle?
I'm at 78 right now, trying to get to 85. We'll see how
it
goes.
Nice. Cushy, I'm looking at your face. That you look terrified.
You guys make me look bad. About 20.
20. Yeah, I think I'm right there with you. I'm right there with you. I try to read more. I read a lot for the show and for work, and I try to read outside of that, and it just doesn't happen. So it's like the 20 books I have to read for work, I've read those.
There you go.
So what book this year would you say stuck with you, Cushy? I mean, and bonus points if it is from 2024.
Yeah.
I will accept older titles if you've got some there.
I'm going to say, which I think a lot of women are talking about, is All Fours by Miranda July. I'm a woman in my 40s. She spoke to me. Just the internal changes happening in you in terms of your personality, in terms of perhaps how you feel in your home as well as physically.
Yeah.
You don't feel like yourself. And sometimes you need a way to carve out your own space.
I want to grab that book.
Yeah, it's
like
good.
Now.
It's good.
For sure. It sounds relatable.
Yes.
Danielle, what about you? What book this year stuck with you?
The Mayor of Maxwell Street. I cannot move away from it. It is the Chicago story, and, you know, Chicago loves Chicago. But beyond that, it's the historical fiction, which I typically hate. But it's the fiction of a well-to-do Black family And one of the members of the family thinks she can be more and do more for the world in general, and starts to try to track down who is this mayor of Maxwell Street and why does he get to be in control of things? And it gets very interesting from there. And I love it. I love the mystery. And I love that for once the protagonist makes the right decision.
Yeah, I love that, too. You had me at Chicago loves Chicago because that is so true. Right, Leslie?
We love Chicago hard, as we should.
As we should. All right. So what book did you love?
So I'm going to say a title that I know everybody's talking about, but I can't shake it. It's James by Percival Everett. For anyone who has not read anything by Percival Everett, he has 30 other books. He's a prolific writer. But specifically, James' retelling of Huckleberry Finn, of centering James as the teller of his own story. And specifically, I've read chapter 2 more times than I can count, the chapter about how we use language, with each other, what code switching means, how we use it for survival, how it identifies us. It is such a beautiful book. And the last lines of it, I mean, are haunting. It was, I am the night. I am James. It's just this moment of claiming yourself.
Yes.
In a time where we were not allowed to claim anything. It's such a powerful book.
So good.
And I can't stop thinking about it.
Yeah. I personally lean toward nonfiction books myself. And if I had to think about one of the best books that I read this year, the first one that comes to mind for me is Ijoma Oluo's Be a Revolution. Mm-hmm. It's called Be a Revolution, mm-hmm. How Everyday People Are Fighting Oppression and Changing the World, and How You Can Too. Not only did I have a great conversation with her here on Reset about the book, but I also had the opportunity to chat with her for the Chicago Humanities Festival earlier this year. And she's just delightful. I mean, she did a lot of work for the book. She traveled the country. She conducted interviews with change makers in every field you can think of. So health, education, criminal justice, the arts. And she was just trying to figure out, like, what are you working toward, and how are you getting us toward a more equitable society? And what are the tricks of the trade for you? And she shares ways that we can join the fight. We've heard so much in recent years about people wanting to figure out how can we help, and what books can we read? And I think a lot of us, especially people of color, Black people, we're like, pick up a book. I don't have time to help you. This is that book to pick up. You know what I mean? So I want to play a little bit of the conversation I had with her when the book first came out. This is Ijoma Oluo on Reset back in January.
The most privileged in our group, what serves them is not going to serve the least privileged. But what serves the least privileged, the most targeted in our groups, will always serve us.
So matter of fact, right, Leslie?
That is a word that is gospel.
Yes.
In any denomination.
Yeah, she's got a call to action at the end of every section of the book, and she lists like very specific ways that you can get involved in the cause. So just a great, great book. Shout out to Ijoma Oluo. And this, though, was quite the year for political books overall, right? We saw, along with Be a Revolution, I'm thinking of Ta-Nehisi Coates, right? The Message came out in October, a national bestseller. It's on tons of, best books of the year lists. I mean, did anyone in the room read that book?
How could you not?
There was so much conversation around. What stood out to you, Danielle?
Here's what I love about prolific authors. It's the fact that they can say what would technically be the simplest thing in the world in a way that makes you, it's an immediate call to action. And that's what that book felt like.
Yes.
You can bring in the statistics, the history, the all of those things. But the real message is that we are all called to action at this time.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's kind of drawing people in.
Leslie?
Ta-Nehisi's truth. Truth is sometimes uncomfortable. Sometimes it's a warm embrace. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's validating. But it's truth. There's no one who can deny the truth of his words. And we've seen countless people interview him and try to challenge it. And the thing about truth is, you just stand on it. It's immovable. And so it's great to hear your thoughts echoed. And specifically with that book, the traveling and showing how we are connected.
Yes.
How one's oppression is not in a vacuum. Mm-hmm. How the world, we are more connected than we would like to believe. And that is why our liberation is connected.
Yeah.
I love when poets speak. Poets start talking, you're like, okay.
It's like, Lizzie, you can just read me the back of the cereal box for all I care.
I will read you whatever you would like me to read.
Cushy, recently on Reset, we had a conversation about how some readers are turning to romance novels for that political escape that we just talked about post-election. You're a romance writer. I'm so glad you could make it here today. Yes, you had a book out earlier this year called Free Fall.
Yes, ma'am.
Tell us more about it.
It is an interracial contemporary romance with South Asian rep, which is what all of my books are about. I am a South Asian person, South Asian American. I grew up here. The challenges of struggling to find yourself while you're straddling two very strong cultures is a big deal, especially in the, you know, I think in all cultures, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But I'm coming from my perspective. So Free Fall is a grumpy sunshine trope.
Mm-hmm.
We all know that. Opposites attract. Okay.
Yes.
And I did something a little different. All of my books are, my heroine is the South Asian rep in my book, coming kind of from what I experienced in dating and finding love with somebody outside of my culture. I wanted to come from a male perspective. So my South Asian in Free Fall is Areev. He is the grumpy, hunky lawyer, if you will. But he has a set of rules that he is trying to follow, be the good son, make partner by 40, get married to, you know, a good Indian woman, that kind of thing. But he meets somebody completely outside of his culture who he starts to fall for. The attraction is there. And she kind of gives him a nudge in the direction of, you don't have to live for your family, your culture completely. You can find your own happiness on your own.
Oh, I love that.
So that's why, you know, it's called Free Fall.
Yeah.
It makes you free fall into love.
I've got to read it. I've got to read it. Speaking of new books, Leslie, that have come out this year, you are also out with a new title. As I mentioned, it's just out. It's a children's picture book. It's absolutely beautiful.
Thank you.
Beautifully done. It's called Brown Girl, Brown Girl. So I've only known you as a poet. Mm-hmm. So you got to talk more about this. This is slightly different for you.
Yes, this is, but still grounded in poetry. So it's based on my poem that went viral in 2020 that was celebrating our first vice president, who was a Black woman, who was South Asian, who was daughter of immigrants. And there were so many touch points that so many of us saw ourselves in.
Yeah.
And so that's where the poem remix came from. And for the past 4 years, I've been working very hard to ensure that any brown person who identifies as a brown girl could pick up this book and open it up and see a version of themselves. Mm. So we know the diaspora and brownness is huge. And I wanted someone to feel that, and not just young girls, but the people who love them, brown women who were once brown girls. Mm-hmm. So the book is really about acknowledging the barriers and pain of our past and how we've overcome that, being grounded in our present together and leaning on that, and having the power and the imagination to think about what we want our future to be, bringing all of those things with us.
Wow.
So it is my fourth baby.
Yeah, sounds fascinating.
It's been wonderful, and I've been thrilled at how well received it's been. Mm-hmm. So we have a star from Publishers Weekly, from Kirkus Reviews.
Nice.
Amazon just announced it as their children's book for 3 to 5 for the month.
Wow, I can't wait to share it with my girls.
Please, and send me pictures.
Oh, I will.
It's a beautiful book. Cosby Cabrera did a fantastic job illustrating, and they're brown girls in there with blonde hair and blue eyes.
Mm-hmm.
They're brown girls with hijabs. They're brown girls with blonde hair, red hair, freckles.
I love it.
Of our cousins and ourselves are in this book.
I love it. It works perfectly. My daughters are, you know, one is, you know, got hazel eyes. One has got dark brown eyes with like jet black, beautiful hair, beautiful long hair. So, you know, just even in my household, we've got a range of shades going on. So this is perfect. I think you read this book too, Danielle.
Oh, absolutely.
What were your thoughts?
I think it's beautiful. Like, I try to always pick up children's books because they connect to you in a different way. You know, as we grow, we get away from that childlike sense. But seeing this one as the dark-skinned girl and seeing the dark-skinned girl on the cover, it's like, yes, we in here.
Exactly.
And she's the prominent figure.
She's the prominent figure, as she should be. No, but no, it's really dope to see it, and it's really dope to experience other people seeing it when they're in the shop, when they're flipping through the book and you're listening to the kids say, that looks like me.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And now I cry.
Yes.
Now, we also asked listeners what their favorite books this year were. Here's a little bit of what they told us.
Hi, this is Jack McCoy. I live in Lincoln Square and I run Sweet Void Cinema in Humboldt Park. And I just want to say I read Dostoevsky's Demons and I really took my breath away. I think it really points to a lot of the moral decay that led to the revolution in 17. And I still think it's relevant today.
Hi, this is Karen. I live in DePaul, Sheffield. I love WBEZ. The favorite book that I read this year is Night Watch. It's a wonderful historical fiction set at the end of the Civil War and during Reconstruction. Highly recommended.
And thank you to everyone who shared their book recommendations. So now all three of you, as I mentioned, you're from the Chicago area, of course. Leslie and Cushy, you're both Chicago authors. I'm wondering if there are specific fellow Chicago area authors that you all want to shout out.
Absolutely.
Here's your chance.
Promises of Gold by Jose Olivetes. It is a beautiful book of poetry in both English and Spanish. So you can flip it and read both languages. Just a really awesome book about our identity and how it shapes us and how we share it and how we carry it with us and what it calls back to both past and future.
Yeah, I love that. What about you, Cushy?
I have two.
Okay.
May I say both of them?
Yes, please.
We'll have to shout out Bryn Donovan, who is a local Chicago romance author. Just came out with a release called Her Night in the at the Museum, and it's a love letter to Chicago. So we all talk about love in Chicago. She sets it in Chicago. It's beautiful. And then a poet, actually, Natasha Trethewey. She's a professor at Northwestern, and she writes about uncomfortable truths, about growing up in Mississippi, being biracial. And I feel like her poetry can speak to anybody who is facing uncomfortable truths in the world, in their life, and it's a way to heal.
Yes.
When you read her writing.
And another shout out to Bryn Donovan, who was a guest on our show just recently. Danielle, what about you? Any Chicago area authors that you want to shout
Absolutely.
Out?
Absolutely. Julian Randall, who's a poet, but also a children's book or middle grade book author, and they are just an exquisite human being, but an exquisite author. And Toya Wolf, Last Summer on State Street. Toya is very dope.
Oh my goodness, that one was a great
book. Yeah, she hosted a spades party with us where we taught the people like me who don't know how to play spades.
me neither. Add me to the list. No one wants to teach me.
Nobody will teach you. And so we taught people and we had grits and biscuits and we talked about the book and these are why Chicago authors are great.
Okay, well, before I let you all go, I want to go around the table once more because it is winter. People are getting into hibernation mode, right? So I want you to just give us maybe one last title that you would recommend for people to curl up with and just escape. Leslie?
Oh, me first. Blues and Stereo, which is a new book showcasing the early works of Langston Hughes, edited and curated by Jeanette Smith, who is a prolific poet. I just think us looking at poetry from a different time where we were experiencing similar political state in our nation is really important to feel what those echoes look like. And for me, poetry is something that you can go back to and read over and over again. So for those dark, cold nights, you can go back to it multiple times and receive something different with each reading.
Sounds good. Cushy?
I'm going to have to say The Midnight Library by Matt Haig.
Oh.
Yes.
Yes.
And Leslie is reacting.
Oh, that was
for the people who can't see us.
I was blown away by that book, and I came to it a little bit late. It was not published in 2024. I did read it last year, and was my first read of 2024. And I was like, "What is going to top this?" Really, it's just about going through life and perhaps experiencing a different path through tiny little changes that happened in your life. And is that really what you wanted? Did that really become the future that made you happy? Or can you take what you have now and, I want to say fix it, it's probably not the right word, but, you know, mold it into what will make you a happy person. Yeah. I'm all about being happy. Happily ever after.
I mean, who isn't? I need some happiness.
We need that right now.
Yes. So. As a globe, we need it. We need it right now. Last recommendation from you, Danielle.
You know, this is one that is not in my norm, but Medgar and Merle by Joyanne Reed.
Okay.
It was a love story to me. It read like a love story. It's the life of Medgar Evers and his wife, mm-hmm. and what that love story was before he was assassinated, and how that love story lived on. Like, you don't love me enough if you don't get your new husband to help solve my murder.
Oh, like, goodness.
That's the word. And it was just beautifully written, historically accurate, and just great.
Oh, my goodness. I can see the people at home right now Googling and making purchases. And it sounds like I have some reading to catch up on while I hibernate this winter. WBEZ and the Sun-Times also have our official staff picks for the best books of 2024 list. It's out now at WBEZ.org as well as suntimes.com. I want to give a special thank you to our panel today, Danielle Moore from Semicolon Books, author Kushi Saha, and author Leslie Honore. Have a great rest of the year, and thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Meha Ahmed and Ethan Schwab. It was edited by Dan Tucker and mixed by Ethan and Ari Mejia. Get the news, politics, and culture happening in Chicago by subscribing to our podcast. Sign up at WBEZ.org/reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
My name is Liz, and as a teacher, I think that WBEZ provides endless sources that I can bring back to my students where they can also engage in a deeper understanding. I teach government, I teach U.S. history, and I have used sources from WBEZ in order to help enrich the understanding of my students.